Right then, how do we reach a decision? Well, we've looked at a lot of points, and in summary, we can look at indicators of employment where the engager has the right to control what, when, how, and where the work has to be done. Even the Rebbin would say if the control is rarely practiced. Then the worker only supplies their own small tools or very little equipment or indeed no equipment. The worker is paid by the hour, the day, the week, or the month. The worker does not risk anything in the engagement. They're not likely to suffer any financial loss. Those would be indicators of employment to a revenue officer, and we'd have to deal with them if there were any significant features there. Indicators of self-employment as far as revenue is concerned. Well, the worker supplies the equipment, the materials and tools needed to do the work. The worker has the right to hire other people to carry out the work. The worker, within limits, has the right to decide how and when the work should be done. Those indicators of self-employment. It is a grey area, it's a difficult area, and perhaps it's still being done. So what are the options for us as advisors? Well, you can go to the revenue. Nowadays, the revenue has its employment status indicator tool on the website. Go on to the home page, click on the left-hand side on ESI, and have a look at that. It asks a series of questions we've already gone through with this podcast. The tool's based on the revenue's interpretation of established case law, and at the end of the day, it will give you an answer, not always a definitive answer, not always a yes or no answer. It will not be able to determine employment status if you give conflicting answers, and revenue says it won't give you an answer in more complex cases, in which case you have the option of contacting one of their status inspectors. My advice is if you're going to contact the revenue direct to ask them for an opinion on employment status, you've got to go to the engager's tax office, not to the worker's tax office, and you need to be careful about your facts when you do that. Finally, what I'd like to do is offer you some practical guidelines, because this is such a difficult area. First of all, consider getting a written contract. A contract for services, of course. A contract that should state the intentions of the parties, that is, that it is self-employment. Ideally, the contract should include a substitution clause, allowing the consultant, freelancer, subcontractor in the construction industry, what have you, to be able to provide a substitute or additional help, and they should be paid by the worker, not by the engager. Ensure that there isn't any mutuality of obligation. Make it clear that there is no continuing right to provide work or to do work. Pay the self-employed a fixed price and pay by an invoice. Place some financial risk on the self-employed if possible. For example, a penalty clause for late completion, or provide an incentive clause for completion on time, but make sure it's worded so that it doesn't seem like bonus or commission. Require the self-employed to provide their own equipment where possible, and certainly don't provide them with everything. Allow the self-employed to control how they work to reflect the autonomy in the contract. Give them flexibility that they should have if they're genuinely self-employed. Make sure the self-employed take out their own public liability insurance or professional indemnity insurance for certain consultants. Important points which will help. All in all, just be careful and remember to consider these points before you give advice on whether someone is employed or self-employed. Get it wrong, it could be costly. Thank you.